The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. Yes, live in the studios on this 26th day of October 2017. I'd like to thank Ralph Winterode for filling in yesterday and imparting on people in a clear and understandable thing of what he does. And that's much appreciated. Guy's got a lot of knowledge, that's for sure. At any rate, as promised, and we've been messing around with this, trying to get Eric John Phelps scheduled, and finally he's here, and he's got something that he's working on that's very, very interesting. He is the author of Vatican Assassins. But that's not why he's here today. We're not here to discuss whether it's the Vatican, whether it's world jewelry, you know, anything like that. This is a little bit closer to home and a little bit more, how should I say, immediate to the needs of Americans. And, of course, following the accepted values out there of, yeah, something happened on March 9th, 1933. I have one of the original posters right here in this office mounted on some cardboard. When they confiscated the gold. And if you remember me saying that Donald Trump was going to sign off on this opioid deal as being the next national emergency, well, it's a health emergency. It's not going to be the full-blown, we've got to check this off every year by continuing the bankruptcy proceedings of March 9th, 1933. Having said all that, I have Eric John Phelps with me today. Hello, Eric. How you doing?
Hello, John. It's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners today.
And you're doing something right now that is what I would consider to be important to get the record straight. You have filed a lawsuit. If you would, Eric, explain to the listeners what this lawsuit is about and the importance of it.
Okay, last year I filed a suit in the county court, and the suit was a petition in equity. And the petition that the relief that I sought was that the judge would decree that my name was upper and lower case, and that I was the sole exclusive beneficiary of the name and estate of the all caps entity. And I was the petitioner, and I named John and Jane Doe's 1 through 99, the respondents. And as a result, on actually November 21st, 2016, he signed my final decree because I had him amended a couple times. And therein, that's what he signed. And
what's the basis of the suit?
The basis of the suit is that I have returned to the status that all Americans enjoyed before March 9th, 1933, when we were considered private citizens. There's a phrase used in Hale versus Hinkle of 1906, it's a Supreme Court case, as you know, and it says that the citizen can conduct his private business. So the citizens at that time did conduct private business. They had the unlimited right to contract that was secured at the time by the Supreme Court in a wonderful case called Lochner versus New York of 1905. And we had gold and silver. We had, you know, all the wonderful things. We had common law. We had civilian due process, a constitutional civilian due process of law. So, but when March 9th came around, 1933, when they declared a state of national, FDR declared a state of national banking emergency and the state of war, this all changed. And as a result, the status of the citizens was altered to that of being surety trustee for the name and estate of their all-caps entity, which is like a corporate soul. And so with this came all these other changes, and in 1938, with the infamous Erie decision that I know you're aware of, they did away with federal general common law. And so there was no more constitutional civilian due process on a federal level as of April 25th, 1938. And shortly thereafter, in September, they introduced their Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, where they merged law and equity procedures together. And when they did that, at that time, they had replaced the constitutional civilian due process of law with Section 17 of the Trading with the Enemy Act, which was a military jurisdiction. So the courts today sit in a temporary emergency war powers military jurisdiction and try everybody as though they're enemies and belligerents with this all-caps entity. So what I did was I returned to my former status that all Americans had before March 9, 1933, by virtue of my declaration of status and documents in it. And the court looked at it and acknowledged that I had returned to that status. And because there was nobody there in court, it was really kind of, I was between me and the judge because there was nobody showing up to contend that. Then he signed my decree in equity that this was my status and that I was the owner of the name and estate of this artificial entity that still exists that we have to interface with. So that was the history behind that and why he signed the decree.
Now, something else about the case. This is a county court judge, correct?
Correct.
And the case is sealed. Why is the case sealed?
Okay, this case is not sealed. The one I just told you is not sealed. The case I'm now involved in, I'm an orphan's court, and I want a full accounting of that name and estate. And so the judge sealed it as per my motion that the investigation is sealed. And when the investigation is finished, then he'll decide whether or not he's going to seal the case or not. So
Where we are. And why would it be in? Okay, two-part question here. What is Orphan's Court, and why would it be important to seal the case?
Okay, Orphan's Court in Pennsylvania and Maryland is probate court for all the other states. Okay. And the importance of having it sealed is that this is a case I maintain of national security, that this needs to be done privately in this case, so that when the judge sees everything, then he can decide whether he wants to make it public. I don't want to endanger the court or the judge to have that out there in the public arena until he sees everything there, and then he can decide whether or not he wants to seal it or put it out in the open. Then he told me in a motion that he answered that the sealing of a case is very limited, that there are strict parameters that a judge must follow to seal a case. So it seems that on its face that he's not going to seal it, but for the time being, it is while the investigation is taking place.
Now, the investigation, and what would they be investigating? The claims that you've made?
No, they're doing a full accounting of that estate. For example, here in Pennsylvania, because Pennsylvania is codified to common law, so they still retain lots of their terms, and the common law is still accessible as well as exclusive equity. But in the local rules for the orphans court, which is probate court for the other states, they have a provision there for auditors and masters. So I requested that a master be assigned by the judge in exclusive equity to do the full accounting of the estate, meaning that he will have to write letters to Secretary of Treasury, IRS, banks, you name it, demanding under the authority of the court what is, if they have any assets held in the name and estate of the all caps with that Social Security number or identifying number. And because all the assets are trust res, trust property, the court has a right to know where it is. So this will probably involve, I would say, maybe 6 months or so, sending out these letters under the authority of the court and then seeing what happens and who responds. But as far as what happens, I can't talk about it, but it's sealed. But I can tell you and the listeners that this is basically what will happen.
Well, do you not think that these letters of inquiry being sent over to the Treasury Department and any other agency of the government, this is not going to raise some red flags?
Oh, it may. But that's my estate, and I have a right to know where all my estate is. I have equitable title to it. And in the doctrines of equity, the equitable one who holds equitable title or who's the beneficiary of trust property, he's the real owner. So I have the right to know who's holding it, how much profit they've made from it. And I have the right to its, to my equitable title to those assets so that can be used so that I can enjoy the use of that property. Not they're going to send me a bunch of money, but I have a right to the use of it.
Well, and Eric, we got a lot of grief years ago when we were telling people that, you know, this Federal Reserve System is not a functioning part of government. Just because it has a name federal on it doesn't make it federal anything. It is a private enterprise for profit. I refer to them as being the middlemen or the guys that get greased for the pleasure of using their script or what they call money. And it's not really money. Everything else has been turned on its head upside down and popped inside out. What it is just a receipt. You've created debt. Congratulations, you're now the debt holder. It's not wealth as we would think as money being. You know, this is a distinction, Eric, that people make between gold and silver. Well, hell, that's been money for 6,000 years. Well, there's a good reason for that. Paper, on the other hand, we realize how they came up with a banking scam, the middlemen people did. Way back when, people would actually deposit their gold and silver, and they would be given a receipt. And that receipt, they could walk back into that bank and negotiate, hand them the receipt, and they'd have to turn over their funds. Well, gold and silver in larger amounts was cumbersome, bulky, heavy. So they just started trading these receipts around. And then it occurred to them that, wait a minute, we're on to something here. The creation of the fiat money systems worldwide that has a chokehold on every industrialized nation. If we look in the Middle East, of course, we can see that the countries over there didn't want to have anything to do with our values. That would be a McDonald's on one street corner and a strip club and a triple X movie theater on the other block. They didn't need our money. At the time, the Ouroboros has all but fallen apart, where they had a thing set up to shore up this funny money system or the Federal Reserve, that if you wanted to buy and sell oil, you had to do it in U.S. dollars. Well, that's gone out the window. China has created their own currency. It looks like they're going to go digital, but I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Suffice to say that the digital age or the moneyless society is right there on the doorstep. And that, I've always asked the question, what are the great deceivers out there? What are they ready to do next? And we're just going to go cashless. I mean, why even mess around with this paper script stuff? Then we discover that the bankers themselves, being good conscientious bankers that they are, Eric, standard understanding is that if you go to a bank to borrow money, you've got to prove to them by way of asset that you really don't need their money. That's called surety. Well, the bankers were looking for a little bit of surety on their funny money system or their Federal Reserve and the loans that would follow, knowing full well how governments operate. Then we come with the federal income tax. There was your surety. And this has been, it's been sitting there all of these years. Of course, there wasn't a whole lot of debt in 1929, but there sure is now, and we've been in the middle of another damn depression just about as long now as we were from 29 until 1940, until they discovered we can start wars and make the bankers rich again, because they don't recognize white hats or black hats. They just understand making loans and rebuilding stuff after it's destroyed. Now,
that's correct.
Having said all of that, people do not understand then incrementally how this government has been flipped and the control has been wrested from them. Anything more on that side of it before we move on here?
Sure, that's what I teach in my course, what they did in 1933. The civilian government that was created by the Constitution was ousted. It doesn't exist anymore. And what replaced it was a military government. We've been under military government since March 9th, 1933, and military jurisdiction since April of 1938. These are the two benchmarks that everybody must be made aware of. Otherwise, nothing makes sense. And then the other thing is, when they had the U.S. versus Carolyn Products of April 25th, 1938, the same day they put out the Erie decision, they did away with your right to contract. So now no one has the right to contract because they look at us as artificial entities. We're clothed with a face. We're clothed with this artificial person. They can't see the man. And so it is in military procedure. Everybody has this name of war, and we have this facade. And this all happened on March 9th, 1933. So in teaching my course, I teach you how to get out of that, that you're no longer clothed with a person. And now you can only be submitted to civilian due process of law, that you can't be submitted to a military due process of law any longer. And so I teach the steps that lead to that. But this issue of the change of government, I never had anybody teach me ever. I was never told this in Bible college. I was never told any college I ever went to. I was never told by anybody. And so when I discovered this, by the grace of God, some other men really taught me, it was unbelievable. We've been under military government since March 9, 1933, and the military colors, they fly everywhere, in the hotels, in the courtrooms, schools, all of it.
You're not in reference to that decorative, as they like to refer to it, as the decorative American flag.
Yeah, it's decorative.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the three sides trimmed in gold fringe, it's obviously defined in Army Regulation 840-10 as a military color.
Well,
and the judges that I've been before, none of them deny it. They won't say yes, it is, but none of them deny it.
Well, and they won't either. You know,
no.
It's rather fascinating. Most people don't end up in federal courts on federal charges. A lot of people have, but just say on an instance of the state with their administrative procedures, I like to refer to them. They used to be called peace officers. Now they're just called law enforcement.
Yeah, law enforcement.
Yeah, law enforcement.
Shove statute down your throat, enforcement.
There you go. Yeah, where's the injured party? The state?
Yep.
Okay. Bring the state, and I want them on the stand, and I want to be able to face my accuser, right? Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But
that's all military process. Commonwealth of Pennsylvania versus so-and-so. It used to be the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. That's a civilian due process. So you're absolutely right, John.
Yeah, and Eric, I mean, we were drawn and quartered years ago when we were bringing forth this information and going, folks, you know, flag heraldry is nothing that any nation takes for granted or makes mistakes on.
Right.
There is a reason why you're seeing that decorative flag in all of your courtrooms. There's a reason why it sometimes in some states, if you don't watch them closely, you'll have the American flag flying above their own state flag. That's everywhere. Okay, hang on, Eric. We've got to take this break. Eric John Phelps with me. What website should they be going to?
You can go to VaticanAssassins.org or 247WorldRadio.com.
There you go. Hold on one second. Well, actually, 3 minutes. We'll be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And that ad that you heard run for donations, that's the voice of myself, yours truly, Michael Herzog, and Michael Rivero. We didn't put the address in there because we kind of like a live update to the listeners that, yes, folks, unlike PBS, they got government money. We don't get any of that. So it's by way of donations and whatever advertising is left out there. Those that are not afraid and are not politically correct. The address to send donations, RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, two words, Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or go to our website, top of the page, there's a donate button that'll take you to a PayPal page. You do not have to be a member in order to make a donation and sign up for a monthly donation. Isn't there something you can eliminate in your life? Like football, maybe? At any rate, donate, folks. Let's keep this thing going. The information is more important today than ever. Talking with Eric John Phelps today, and your status as being a citizen. You know, Eric, I had a guy that came by the network, a longtime listener, and he imparted a few gifts on me, one of which was the Kennedy Red Seal notes, the United States notes that weren't carrying the interest or the middleman's death penalty to us. And he gave me something else.
an 1860 pocket constitution. And you'll never guess, Eric, what was in as the 13th Amendment.
Is that right? Is it in there?
It is the original amendment. The one that, seemed to get lost, or they didn't seem to have one, after or during and after the Civil War.
I would love to have a copy of that if you could make me one.
Absolutely. It's in pretty good condition. It is well used, but back in the day, they were also well made, so it is weathered. Oh, gosh, what would that be? 1860, 1960, 165, 170 years, something like that?
Yep.
Yeah. I'd be more than happy to make you a copy. I don't know if you remember the wonderful guy that made the movie Jaws. This guy.
Oh, yes, Steven Spielberg.
This guy came out, you remember, about 3-4 years ago, he did the period film on Lincoln.
And it
was a period film, and half of the movie was, Mr. Lincoln, we need a 13th Amendment, as if there wasn't one that already existed. And that original 13th Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, you want to know why things are...
It was a glorious and wonderful amendment.
Yeah, well, if you want to understand why bills that you see in Washington, D.C. are thousands of pages long, they're put together by lawyers. And most of the critters that we have in Congress and the Senate, they hold a degree in law. They're lawyers themselves. And the original 13th Amendment forbade that lawyers actually be elected to our Congress. Well, how things have changed.
There's no titles of nobility. We're allowed.
No.
So that eliminates all the knights, all the high masons, all the high boys in the secret societies with their titles and nobility.
Well, and the George Bush and, I mean, the secrets.
The Bonesmen.
Yes,
all of them. All of them.
And which we've been called conspiratorial nuts for bringing up, but they'll never address it.
Of course not. Well, you know, they just love to brand us with a little... label. Wait, you conspiracy theorist? I just come right back on them and say, are you a coincidence theorist? Let's look at the facts and see if they fit coincidence. Because yeah. I guarantee you they don't.
Well, I mean, people, I started to make the point earlier, Eric, that, you know, most people don't end up in a federal court. Well, if they end up in a court at all, it's usually over a traffic ticket or something of that nature. And isn't it fascinating that... on the tickets themselves, it'll tell you that the warning, you must show up for this or make arrangements to pay in lieu of showing up in our little court system with our gold fringe flag a-flying, you can take care of this and that's okay. It's just a civil infraction. But yet they use the criminal rules procedure rather than, they use a criminal proceeding rather than what you would consider a civil infraction that chances are would end up in more of a common law court.
That's right. Summary military court-martial proceedings.
Wow.
Captain's mast.
So why don't they make us salute rather than just stand when the black-robed one walks in the courtroom?
John, you're being a little too truthful there, John.
We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Talking with Eric John Phelps today, a lawsuit that has been filed, or court proceedings. It's really not a lawsuit per se, is it, Eric?
Well, it's not at law, but it is a suit. You'd call it a suit in equity. And I'm in an exclusive equity jurisdiction, which some people don't believe exists, but it does. And I do have respondents, which are John and Jane Doe's 1 through 99. Of course, they don't respond, so I get what I want. So anyway, it's a probate issue right now, or orphans court here, and then I've had the previous cases with the decree and with the status concerned. But that's why I teach my course. I teach them the history behind this and then how to resort back to the status that we all had so we're not in violation of Proverbs 11:15, which, of course, says that whosoever is a surety for a stranger shall smart for it, but he that hateth suretyship shall be safe. So we cease to be surety, have the protection of the Constitution as far as our citizenship status under Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, not seen as artificial persons. So that's essentially the class.
You know, a few years ago, the third rail was touched, and I'm trying to think of the politician. His daddy was governor of Michigan, and I'll think of his name here in a second. Also ran for...
Vanderjet?
I'm sorry?
Vanderjet?
No, not Vanderjet. Okay. I'll think of the politician's name in a second, but he came out about 3 years ago and says, you know, corporations are people too.
Oh, Romney.
Thank you.
Romney.
Thank you.
Yes, he said, that's what he said. We're all a bunch of little corporations now. Poor corporations are people too. He's exactly right since March 9th, 1933. I'm surprised he had the courage enough to say it.
Well, it wasn't courage. It was more of a slip.
Yeah, probably a slip or a slapper.
Yeah. A slap. It was a slip, and most people don't realize the slap. And that disappeared rather quickly.
Didn't it?
No.
It's hard to find. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no follow-up questions on, excuse me, what do you mean the corporations are people too?
Yeah,
and this
right.
And this whole thing, you know, I mean, when you look at it, Eric, at its simplest, you know what, I'm an Occam razor kind of guy. You know, give me the explanation that best fits without getting too damn complicated.
Right.
Now, we have mapped this thing out. You know, this country has been a country since 1778. That's when the Constitution was ratified. We're 239, almost 240 years old. Do you know that we only had, out of that entire period of this country's history, we only had 11 years that we weren't blowing somebody up on the face of the earth for some real or pretended reason? You know, we talk about values that we're trying to instill on other people, and we have been nothing but,
I would have to humbly disagree with you there. We had a wonderful country, and it started to change with the uncivil war. There was nothing civil about that war. We had great presidents like George Washington, Madison. Greatest is Andrew Jackson, as far as I'm concerned, when he gets rid of the central bank. But the powers that be, and I maintain it's the Vatican, they couldn't stand this place. They called it a heretic nation. And so the Jesuits determined it's a missionary country in 1808 and attacked it for the point of then destroying it, ultimately destroying our federal form of government with the 14th Amendment after they raped, pillaged, and plundered the Protestant South during that war and then the horrible Reconstruction. So when they put that in place, we still had they made federal citizenship national. But they were centralizing power, but they didn't create their empire until March 9th, 1933, and that's the big problem.
Well, and of course, they dreamed up all sorts of other mechanisms, and it was under the guise of just keeping control of things. We had all sorts of administrative law that popped up after 1946, the Administrative Procedures Act came in.
Yes.
We were off and running.
Yes. Well, you know, that whole Administrative Procedures Act is a result of everybody being deemed a person, quote-unquote, as defined by the Trading with the Enemy Act of October 6, 1917, as amended by the Emergency Banking Relief Act of March 9, 1933. So when they amended Section 5B of the Trading with the Enemy Act so as to define person as an individual, partnership, corporation, or association, immediately, everybody became or is identified as this artificial person, now subject to all these damnable administrative rules. It's the same thing they had for the blacks during the Dred Scott decision. They had their special police regulation administrative rules. That's how we're treated today, as enemy belligerents under military government.
I have a caller, Jack in Michigan. I'm sorry? No, I have something else on that screen. Just Chet. Okay, Chet in Michigan. Hello, Chet.
I've called.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Am I on the air?
You are.
How you doing, Chet?
Doing fine. Just wanted to talk about something I found out last night regarding LBJ. And in Texas, to start his political career, he was financed by a couple of guys in the construction business. What caught my attention was their name. They go by the Brown Brothers. That rung a bell. Brown Brothers.
Brown Brothers Harriman. Yep, Brown Brothers Harriman. Right. I was at Filthy Allen Dulles. And, yep, working with the top Nazis. Yep.
And also
Lyndon Baines Johnson was inducted in the Masonic Lodge in 1936 in Johnson City. So, and he was also trained by Jesuits at Georgetown for 1 year. So he was absolutely groomed for what he did.
I didn't know that.
Yep. That's why the Wicked Sinner stole our silver from us. Yeah.
Yeah. Pushing this a little bit further, you know, of course, Johnson reversed all Kennedy's policies. And this was at a time when it looked like not only would John serve out two terms, but he was going to be followed by Bobby and possibly even Martin Luther King. So I feel like the New World Order couldn't handle that. You know, that was not part of their plan. So JFK had to go, and LBJ conformed to their wishes, escalated the war. And Bush is just right in the center of all this. Of course, you know, Prescott was one of the founding members, and as it turns out, I think out of the 17 founders, 11 were skull and bones, you know. And what happened
founders
within
of,
2 months?
Founders of what? Founders of what?
Sorry?
Founders of what?
Brown Brothers Harriman.
Well, actually,
the original bank was founded in 1800, if you can believe that. But they formed many offshoots of that. As a matter of fact, found out that the B in KBR stands for Brown. They're part of that deal, too.
Sure. Well, so, you know, they were also involved in Vietnam with offshore drilling. They brought their oil tankers and unloaded half of them in Hanoi and the other half in Saigon. I mean, it was a horrible, terrible war overseen by certain powerful Knights of Malta, like Allen Dulles and others, and you have the mayor of Washington, D.C., Edward Bennett Williams, who was the most powerful knight in the country at the time. LBJ wanted to make him very powerful, but he wanted to stay, you know, low. But no, the LBJ was totally working for the papacy. He was involved with John McCone. John McCone was a powerful knight of Malta, made the head of the CIA after, continued to be the head of the CIA after the Kennedy assassination. And so no, he was a very evil, sinister man. And there's a very good book for the readers if they want to read on him. It's called Texas in the Morning. Texas in the Morning by Madeline Duncan Brown, who was his concubine. And she tells all about the assassination and the night before. It's a very, very good book, and I recommend it.
Oh, you referred to the meeting at Murchison's house.
Yes, that's right.
The night before.
Yes.
Amazing.
Nixon was
there.
I knew. Hoover. Yeah.
Right. I knew the files are not going to be open today. I told my wife yesterday. The CIA is too heavily involved. They had tabs on Oswald. He, in fact, worked for the CIA and probably
yes.
FBI.
Of course.
They have his call-in number, even the amount he was paid. So confirmation from the quote-unquote secret files would have been devastating to them.
Oh, of course. Why, he would have come out. One of the things I put in my book on Vatican Empires, I show all the Knights of Malta involved, and Henry R. Luce was one of them, Henry Robinson Luce, who ran Luce and then the Gannett Papers, Time Life. There's a book called Luce and His Empire that the listeners need to get, and he bought the Zapruder film for $150,000 and then brought it over to the Rockefeller Center so that the CIA could doctor it up and make sure that there was no evidence of a shooter from the front. So, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Eric, let me ask you it's JFK, here we are, November 22nd, 1963, they splatter the guy's brains all over the Masonic standings there. And,
that's right.
And this guy had run afoul with the CIA because he said, look, this was the OSS. It was turned into the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency.
Yep.
And I want to spread this to the winds.
That's right. I'm going to break it into 1,000 pieces.
1,000
pieces. It to the winds. That's right.
And he was not going to do the Vietnam War.
That's That's right.
He was set up.
1965 is going to be out. That's right.
And in regards to Cuba, he was short-sighted and blindsided on the Cuban invasion.
He was betrayed by that filthy McGeorge Bundy, skull and bones. McGeorge Bundy's the one who canceled the air cover. Fletcher Prouty says it in his book, JFK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he was totally betrayed.
The one thing, and I referenced this at the top of the hour, the two gifts that were given to me by the individual that stopped by and saw me, the 1860 pocket constitution and also the United States note. Now, what Kennedy mm-hmm. did by executive order, he ordered the Treasury to print up these United States notes,
yep.
and it was a competing currency against the Federal Reserve notes.
Yep, that's right.
One was a dead instrument, the other one wasn't.
Yep.
And it's been to this day.
And one we don't have to pay interest on, the other we do.
And ironically, it was, the main reason that he was offed in Dealey Plaza. I mean, he pissed off a lot of people. Make no mistake about that.
Absolutely. Well, you see, the high-level Scottish Rite Freemasons, which I show the Jesuits wrote all the top rites in my book, they hated his guts. LBJ was going to be going to jail if Kennedy took office, and J. Edgar Hoover was going to be removed from the FBI. They were out for blood. And furthermore, you have that another filthy Earl Warren, who's on the Warren Commission. He's a 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason that covers it up. The only honest guys that I see really trying to do something, and I really hate to say this, but certain Knights of Columbus. Hale Boggs was a Knight of Columbus, and he said Oswald didn't shoot anybody.
Well,
killed JFK. He's a Knight of Columbus.
Look, Eric, I talked to his wife, and she said he's a patsy. He never shot anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talked to Oswald's wife.
Yeah, Marina.
Marina, yes.
Yep.
She's absolutely right. And she also, I quote her in my book, and she says, to find the problem, you need to go to the Federal Reserve Bank and who runs that.
There you go.
That's what she said.
All right.
But Oswald, he liked Kennedy. He respected Kennedy. He didn't hate Kennedy. But Oswald, of course, was involved with the CIA, and nobody's getting out of Russia with his wife at that time unless there's a CIA-KGB connection.
Well,
we also have to remember, too, the CIA was, as you said, first the OSS under that fanatical Knight of Malta, Wild Bill Donovan. So it morphed, and he's morphed into the CIA, and then, of course, the Walter Beadle Smith, who hated General Patton and participated in his assassination. Patton told his wife, Beadle Smith will never be my pallbearer. You're going to appoint Sergeant Meeks, the black Sergeant Meeks, who will be my pallbearer. But yes, Beadle Smith.
General Patton, he wanted fuel for his tanks. He wanted to roll into Russia and take care of that problem.
Yes.
Why would anybody associated with the Vatican want to see communism flourish?
Because the Jesuits are the secret masters of communism. They perfected communism on their Paraguayan reductions for 150 years. Karl Marx was tutored in the British Museum by the man who became the Jesuit general, Peter Becks. And that's according to Bismarck, Otto von Bismarck. The Jesuits are the masters of communism. Yeah. That's why they use the state that's why they use the State Department to impose communism everywhere they go. They use the State Department in 1949 to impose Mao Zedong in China.
I've talked about that a lot. Quickly, Chet, you had something else.
Well, I just wanted to get something clarified. I actually thought I was calling Mike Rivero, but it sounds like I have Phelps, Eric. Is it Eric Michael? Is it
Eric John Phelps?
Phelps, yeah. I've listened to him a lot, on YouTube, so I recognize his voice. Not a great information, and I appreciate talking with you, speaking with you.
Well, have you figured out who I am yet?
Is it Jeff?
No, I just happen to own and run the joint. When you figure it out, call us back. Thank you, Chet.
I sure will.
All right.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. I love it. People,
John, you have some very colorful callers.
I'm telling you. But the one thing that they are, they might be a little confused about the time of the day and what host it is. They're hot on the topics of conversation. And I'm not bragging here. I'm just stating a fact that we have the best educated audience in radio history. And I am not joking about that. Dennis in New York. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, John, and hello, Eric.
Hello.
Hello, Dennis. How are you, sir?
Eric, you mentioned, was it McComb or Coombs?
McCone.
McComb.
John, John McCone.
The fellow who was the preferred hitman of LBJ or Bush?
No, no,
senior?
That was Malcolm Wallace. Malcolm Wallace was the hitman.
Okay, because I had
killed
this.
Over 25 people for that filthy LBJ.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I have a question for you, you know. I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and I remember seeing your magazine articles, a lot of your Latin American countries that had signs that said, Yankee, go home. Mm-hmm. And I used to say, what are they complaining about? Boy, we got the Catholic churches over there opening schools and missions and teaching people English and educating them, etc. And then years later, in 82, I'm living with a Colombian girl, and she has a son. He's half Colombian, half Puerto Rican, and he's enrolled in the United States National Guard. Now, he was a citizen, so she was actually became a citizen, too, came from Colombia. But he was in a National Guard. And he came back from the boot camp when he was down there in Camp Lejeune. And he made a comment, because we're getting these pictures of what they look like on the weekends, what they were doing. And he made a reference that he told me that the recruits call this the white man's army. And there was this subject came up briefly on Michael Rivero's show today, and I didn't get a chance to get through, but... Are we surrounded by mercenaries from foreign countries that they fast-tracking citizenship into this country, and most people don't know about it? And it's all started with the Vatican, the Pope sending out the missionaries, bringing people into this country, us enrolling them in the military. Now we're surrounded by them.
That's correct.
Do you think there's any credence to that?
Absolutely. That's why they're behind, I call it the Roman Catholic, alien Mexicans, Hispanic invasion. All those people are criminals. They don't belong here. They need to be rounded up and sent right back where they came here. So the purpose of the Vatican doing this, and there's a great big picture of statue of the Pope on the Mexican border welcoming them to come into the U.S., the purpose is to Catholicize this country and miscegenate it and race mix it and language mix it so there's no united people to stand against what I call the Pope's white power structure that runs the world today. So that's what they're doing, and they've been at this for over 100 years. R.W. Thompson writes about it in his great book, The Papacy and the Civil Power, where the Jesuits had conspired to Latinize our southern borders. But now it's just...
I wanted to mention that because a lot of people are unaware of it, and every time I think about calling your show, I forget about this incident, you know, but it's just something that I'm glad I was able to mention it on the air. And I got your website here, and it looks really interesting, you know. And as far as representing yourself in court, yeah, oh my, boy, I could have used you back years ago. Anyway, I'm a recovering Roman Catholic, as they say, and a lot of this stuff that I've seen, it's good to see some light being shed on this whole situation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dennis.
It's
good
my
to hear you again,
to talk
John.
With you, Dennis.
Night now.
Yeah. Eric and myself, we disagree on who the sock puppets are and who is really moving the sock puppets' mouths. His contention is it's the Vatican, and mine is that, yeah, there's another group out there that wears yarmulkes. But for the purpose of relaying information, and I didn't want to stifle it, he and I are at different conclusions about that. You've done a lot of study.
Really too much, John, because you see, I give you credence on these notable Jews. Like Sherman Skolnick used to call them the Hofjuden, the Pope's court Jews. And then I just got a picture from one of my students. I got a picture of George Soros in full regalia of the Knights of Malta. He's a Knight of Justice. So he's busy bowing at the feet of the Pope, too. So Anyway, I'm with you on these Hofjuden, on these Jews that are busy with their conspiracies, but I maintain that ultimately they're submitted to the Pope.
Well, and I've said over the years, tongue-in-cheek, just joking, Eric, that there is one similarity that they both share. One wears a red yarmulke, and the other one wears a black one. It's the yarmulke conspiracy.
which is all really sun worship, anyway.
Yeah. And a lot of, that's another road we don't have time to go down on. But, Eric, I'd like to bring you back.
I'd be happy to come back sometime, John, I can just maybe, get a little words in on the class and the people can contact Tony.
Well,
that would be nice. But I would love to come back anytime you want me.
Well, and that is what I want you to talk about now. There is a primary course that you can do, folks, and it's on Private American Citizenship Course. And we've talked a lot about how to insulate yourself from the government that claims that, well, they basically own you. You can free yourself from that. And it's lengthy. It's detailed. Your class, what, consists of 3 days?
3 days, that's right.
And
at least 8 hours. It's pretty intense. It's kind of like basic training.
And you offer this course. How did you're coming down here to Texas, and I appreciate you've offered the 3-day seminar. I don't know if I can do this for 3 days, but you've been kind enough to offer a free passage to your seminar. But people that want to attend this and get all the background information and the how-tos, the exact how-tos of how to free yourself from this octopus that keeps trying to grab you, where here in Texas are you going to be and when?
Okay, I'll be at Austin from November 3rd to the 5th. And you can contact the coordinator down there. His name's Tony. And his email is Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N, then capital P like Paul, A like Art, N like Nancy, C like Charlie, seminars@gmail.com.
Yeah, I've talked to Tony, and he brought me to your attention and told me about the court case that you have going on. I'd be very interested to see the culmination of that. It's shooting off some red flares right now. Correspondence.
I had one
to
of my
treasury.
Students say, "Eric, you better watch your back." And I said, "Well, you know what? They have been knowing I've been doing this for a long time, and it's just a matter of the truth." And so I'm just praying that the Lord will bless and we have a good success. But in the final analysis, we can be private citizens once again. And for all of us to be private citizens, all they need to do is repeal one statute. And that's the Emergency Banking Relief Act of March 9th, 1933.
Which is the amended version of Trading with the Enemy in 1917.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Because, you see, they amended Trading with the Enemy Act 14 times from 1918 to 1930. And the 15th time, when they fashioned it just for what they wanted it for, was the Emergency Banking Relief Act, which approved and confirmed FDR's proclamations, putting us under a state of national emergency, and which also amended Trading with the Enemy Act to bring it inside the country to regulate all domestic transactions under that act. So if that would just simply be repealed, we would immediately go back to constitutional civilian government.
Is there a phone number associated with Tony?
Yes. I can send it to you if you want. Or it's a... let me see if I can get this here.
We have about 2 minutes left here, so while you're looking for that, I'll remind folks that VaticanAssassins.org is Eric John Phelps's site. A lot of information there. And for those that want to ply themselves away, or I should say pry themselves away from this octopus, that they just keep claiming that, you're a federal citizen and we've got jurisdiction over you and all this stuff that we created, see, it's all been codified and statutory, and it's all positive law.
Yeah, positive law.
Do you have that phone number?
Yeah, I give you a phone number. Tony, give me your phone number.
My phone number is 512-785-6292.
And that is Tony's.
Give Tony a call, and I'm sure he'll be glad to help you.
And that is Tony's number, 512-785-6292, for the Austin class that's going to be taught by Eric John Phelps. And that is going to be November what?
November 3rd to the 5th.
3rd, 4th, and 5th.
3rd, 4th, and 5th.
And, folks, if you want to register for that class, it is a tad bit expensive, but so is your freedom. There's a lot of work that has gone into this, and anything that we can do to keep ourselves above this cow patty they call the federal government, the better off that you will be. Eric John Phelps, thank you so much. We'll have to have a return on the air. And thank Tony for putting me in touch with you.
I sure will. Thank you, John, for having me, and thank you, listeners, for calling in and listening.
So, all right.
Lord bless you, John.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Eric.
Sure.
Coming up, Jeffy Bennett. He's got some stuff he wants to tell you. And, folks, thank you, Ralph Winterode, for filling in for me yesterday. The eyesight is a lot clearer today, and I'm hell-bent on getting rid of this problem, so it'll never crop up again. People want to know why I wasn't on air? Well, it's hard to do a show when you can't see. Thanks for being here, folks, today. Back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. Stay tuned, second hour.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.